Is it me? Is there like 100 new self-help books available like every day?
Oh yeah, you walk into a bookstore and the self-help section has just exploded, aisles and aisles and aisles of self-help books. And then you go online with Google or YouTube and it's just endless content of ways to improve yourself.
Yo, when Masterclasses came out, Gordon Ramsay, Hans Zimmer, Carl Centine, those are good. And I was inspired.
Totally. We tried some of that stuff.
I think what is not often talked about is the aspect of submitting to the one who created you and who wants to work a beautiful work in you.
It's like putting your formation back into the hands of the creator versus trying to grasp it yourself.
Because like something that I've been thinking about lately is just how, yes, there is, yes, we, a lot of growth and of us growing into our abilities and our aptitudes, it is a process. It's a process of learning. It's a process of maturing and trying things and experience and being challenged and being mentored. But so often we do not talk about the submission part of that.
So before we run too far with this and get too deep here, I want to take a moment to welcome you guys back to the Field Notes podcast by Kairos Global. My name is Kate. I'm hosting today with my husband, Zach, and we are your only two hosts today, shaking it up a little bit. And
this is my garage studio where I do a lot of like creating and stuff like that. So we whipped it up and got it set up for our last episode, like Kate said. And so, wow, first season is done.
This is it. Well, it's not quite done. We have an episode to do here.
Yes. Yes.
But we are wrapping up our first season, and we thought it would be a good way to end it with looking at the Potter.
Right. Because that's just that is the crux of what has kind of been, I've been chewing on lately, and I've been processing with Kate the last couple of days, is what does the picture as God being the potter and we being the clay actually teach us? I just want to dive into that more. I think that as we're looking back on our first season and just kind of reflecting on just the different topics that God's really highlighted to us and put on our hearts just to share with you guys, this is kind of the best way we can tie it up with a bow, honestly, and say, that's it for season one.
So I want to take it to the scripture. This is Jeremiah 18. This is what the Lord was bringing Jeremiah into. 18 verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands. And he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Gonna pause there. Zach, do you want to help us understand a little bit of the context that this was being said in?
Right. So as the rest of this passage of scripture goes on, God makes it clear to Jeremiah that this picture, that God is in the same position as a potter. He has in his mind the beautiful thing he wants to make, but the clay is resisting his touch, i.e. Israel. God wants Israel to be blessed and be a blessing to the nations.
They are his chosen people.
He wants it to be that city on a hill. Like, Jerusalem is literally on a hill. Like, he wants Jerusalem to be a light to the rest of the world, showing the rest of the world these different nations that are consumed in darkness and idolatry and oppression. He wants Israel to be the face of who he is and of his character, of who he truly is. And they weren't doing that.
No, he had been forming the vessel, so to speak. But at this point in time, the Lord then says to Jeremiah that Israel has done a very horrible thing, and she has worshipped false gods, and she has caused others to stumble in their ways in the ancient roads, and they have done horrific things. And so now the Lord is saying, like, Israel, as a potter, will scrap a vase and form it into something else. I also am not afraid to do this with you.
Right. And so this is actually kind of a hard word, actually. And so
this was not a fun word for Jeremiah word. To receive. He was probably not eager to go share this.
Yeah. I don't think, yeah, no, that'd be hard. The prophets had a hard job, man. Their job was hard. Gosh. But what we see here is a picture of a creator. God is wanting to take this and to make it into something beautiful, but if it's not responding to the way his fingers, if the clay is not responding to the way of the potter's fingers are trying to shape and sculpt and weave and pattern, then he's going to make it into something else.
Yeah, I think that's worth noting is he doesn't just scrap it and like throw it on the trash heap. He uses the same clay, he just makes something else with it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking kind of at today, at a more like personal application.
What's a more personal application?
Yeah, how would you translate that?
I mean, in this instance, it's very clear he's talking about a nation. But in other parts of the Bible, we see this verse, we see a parallel between the potter's clay and also our hearts.
Sure. There are lots of like small references to the potter and the clay throughout Isaiah. So this is just one of them.
Right.
Woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles. And so that's, you know, that's putting somebody in the position of the clay.
Right.
And here it's talking about like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you doing it that way? How are you doing it? It is not the clay's position to try to step into the making process, but to allow itself to be made. If we're following the Lord and we feel like he's given us a direction and we're running in that direction, like I'm guilty of, Lord, can I do it like this? What if I did it this way? What if we go here and do this now? Like trying to interject myself into that forming process. And it's different from trying to be proactive and like engage the Lord in what he's doing. It's different from taking an active role in participating in what the Lord wants to do. That is good, and that is...
Ooh. So much of our questions that we ask God come from a place of not trying to understand, but out of a desire to control what he's doing. It comes out of a desire to control and define instead of understand and submit to what he is doing in us.
Sure, and inadvertently what that can kind of do when we're consciously or unconsciously wrestling for control of how God's going to do it or what's going to happen next, we make ourselves rigid. And it is hard to form rigid clay. And so we then lose out on God's plans, not to say that there aren't other plans that the Lord has for you, but maybe it's God's best and we're resisting him and we lose in that scenario. Right. Praise God, he just reforms the clay.
Yeah.
We're not going to totally screw up everything because we get a little rigid because we want to do it our way.
Right.
The Lord is merciful in that. But best scenario for us is choosing that yes of submission to the Lord and how he wants to lead. I'm preaching to myself right now. Being
this is something
willing to let the Lord shape how things go. And submitting to that with a joyful heart and letting him create.
Right.
And seeing what he's built. We see that reflected in our own story.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because right now, Zach, you and I are sitting in our garage in Florida hosting a podcast. Did we ever see that for ourselves?
Never saw it coming.
No. And we get to do it from a rich background of having spent time in the Middle East and having been in missions for a while.
Yeah.
And the journey that the Lord has brought us on that enriches what we're doing now. So if we had sat down to do a podcast 7-8 years ago, it wouldn't be the same.
Right.
And so the Lord took us on a journey to the Middle East. There was so much that we got to experience in the Lord there, so many opportunities where we got to bless and be blessed there that enriches what we're doing now. And if I had tried to like take the bull by the horns, either with moving to the Middle East or moving back to America, it would look very different. And it was for sure uncomfortable choosing to move to the Middle East as a single woman and being there, choosing to get married. That part was easy. But then us choosing to bring our family back to Florida to work at our missions headquarters in Florida for a season.
Yeah.
That was difficult too, but we felt the Lord's call in it. And so sometimes me kicking and screaming inside submitted to it. And the Lord has just made it so great.
Yeah. I don't know how I can just emphasize how much this, if we can get this part right, the rest will work out. The rest will happen. If we can get the part of quieting our soul and submitting to the hand of God and saying, I don't understand. I don't even know myself. But I trust that you know me and that you know what you have breathed into me and what you desire to create. That was a prayer I started asking about 7-8 years ago, because it was a little easier for me to ask that because I did not have any idea of what I was good at. I felt I had like this creative part of me, but I wasn't really exercising it much apart from writing here and there. And I had lots of angst and uncertainty about the future. But as I began seeing him and who he was and just the beauty of his character, I was just like, hey, what do you want me to do? And so out of that, I ended up in the Middle East. And, you know, it was kind of funny. I just kind of have a moment of consciousness and realize, what the heck? I'm in the middle of a dusty, chaotic city of 4 million people that don't speak my language. And 10 years ago, I swore I'd never even move to a city.
Right, because you grew up in a very rural place on a farm.
Yeah.
A literal farm.
How I felt alive was being outdoors, hiking, fishing, hunting, that. And then ending up in the Middle East, I remember just being so kind of bewildered, but happy.
But the Lord's leading in that it maybe took a little while to see, was with a lack of naturally beautiful scenery around you to just embrace.
Yeah.
You grew and developed as a musician to create your own beauty in that space.
If it hadn't been for that 5 years, I would not have discovered the seeds of creativity and the skill sets and the gifting that God had put there and that he wanted to bring out unto fruition. I needed it. And I never would have chosen it. I never would have freaking chosen it.
Just to be clear, the people there, we loved engaging with people and food and
Yeah.
So much of the culture we really enjoyed.
Yes.
But aesthetically speaking, we were in a very unaesthetic place.
There was vibrant life in the people, and there was things that I grew to love and still am endeared towards.
100%.
But there was a part of me that had to be planted, to be buried, in order to actually start growing in ways that I was always meant to be, and grow and that I wasn't pursuing.
And if Zach Hansen, the piece of clay, had been, you know, asking the same questions that were asked in Isaiah 45, hey, why don't I have handles, or why are you forming me this way?
Mm-hmm.
It would have come out different.
Well, believe me, I asked that question still. Sure. I still had those days, weeks, even months of where I know I'm supposed to be here. I know I'm supposed to love these people here. I'm also, but why? But like, why did you bring me here to discover this aspect about me that's so hard and different than a lot of this culture?
So let's break this down. How is a vase shaped? We're deep diving back into the analogy for a second here.
Well, when you look on a potter's table turning, it's basically a style, how do you call it? Turnstile, whatever. I am not well versed in pottery terms, so
neither one of us has ever had a formal pottery class. You guys correct us in the comments, please.
But I have respect for it. I love
the potter's wheel.
The potter's wheel. What's going on? There's motion, effort, and time. There's motion. The clay is in motion. In order for
it's not stagnant.
It's not just sitting there. It's spinning. It's moving. And as that, through that movement, through that effort, and over a period of time, over elapsed time, that clay, that lump of that medium of just nothing, just a lump, becomes a beautiful vase or a beautiful work of art or a piece, like, you know, a piece of pottery.
So what that says to me, thinking about it that way, is every moment counts. And it's not one big yes at the beginning of, God, I want to be your vessel. Ooh, yes, good. Form me how you want me. But every rotation of the clay, every movement of his hands, time elapsing, all of it counts. And so it's that daily, yes, Lord, I am choosing to be malleable today. Yes, Lord, I am choosing to trust your leadership today. Yes, Lord, I know that I am in your hands today, and yes, I can rest in your hands.
Right.
Every step of the way.
Mm-hmm. It's not just like, all right, I'm sitting here, and then suddenly God, bam, puts down a map of how to do it and the means to do it, you know? He gives you just enough to go forward.
Mm.
Sometimes he'll give you dreams. Sometimes he'll give you a couple pieces of puzzle, just boom, which are down, like right there, and that's what you need. But a lot of the time, he gives us just enough to just keep walking forward from day to day, you know? Yes. And it's motion, that motion.
Not the next five steps, just the next one.
Right. And a lot of times, we hate that.
Oh, yeah. I'm a planner.
I hate that, too. Like, I want
to
know.
I have to squash my own self-determination and pride in being able to organize things on a regular basis to stay malleable to what the Lord wants to do each day.
And I need to submit my anxiety about my anxieties that come up for me not seeing how my dreams and my passions are going to be fulfilled in a certain way.
You know what I just thought of too? Because the pot is constantly in motion, changing every second, there is no, like, stagnation. Mm. There is no neutral point where nothing is happening.
Mm.
Either it is being formed in a positive way and going as the potter would like to form it, or it's transforming in a negative way, not as the potter would like to form it. But there's not a point where there's neutral, nothing happening.
Yeah.
Which provokes me really to check my heart and make sure that I'm submitting to the Lord, because I want to be moving in the positive direction.
Which kind of brings me back to like the whole, you can buy, it's like self-help books. Yes, read books. I'm a huge proponent of reading books. Learn, get ideas outside of your bubble. Learn, grow. But
acquire skills to
improve try, things, experiment. But end of the day, are you submitting? Are you submitting to the hand of the one who not only loves you but created you and is creating something in you and is longing to create something in you, but at the end of the day is not going to force you to do what you do not want to do? So is your heart posture permitting God to do what he wants to do, or hindering?
It's developing our skills, our giftings, growing in maturity, growing in our life in God. Bettering ourselves in that way is not a bad thing. Mm-mm. It's just allowing the Lord to then use it as he sees fit and letting the Holy Spirit lead in that.
Right. Because God may or may not call you to go somewhere that you never saw coming. You might stay in the same town that you grew up in, and that's where you're supposed to be. But that being said, there are things that you do not know, that we do not know, that I do not know about the future, about myself, that God does, and that he wants to organize and weave for his glory and our good.
Right, because God exists outside of time. And so he has the unique perspective that only he has of being able to see the beginning, middle, the end, all at the same time. He already knows how your story is going to go and your journey into eternity. He knows everything. And so your path to get there, there is free will, of course, but when we think we know the best way to get there along the way,
that's dangerous.
It is dangerous. And so trusting in the Lord's leadership as the one who sees the beginning and the end is so much better.
So at the end of the day, learn. We should learn. We should grow. We should grow in discipline and in knowing ourselves. But it's worthless if we're not submitting to what God wants to do in our lives.
So I think we want to end with a challenge to you guys, speaking to ourselves as well, to really be intentional with the Lord and submit yourself to his leadership today and tomorrow and the next day. But relinquish the control over the details and how to get from A to B, and let the Holy Spirit lead. Let the Lord shape you into the vessel that he is so excited to create you into.
Yeah, and if one of the things that you feel God is leading you is ministry and missions, that's our wheelhouse. That's something that we're invested in, that we're involved in, and that we want to help other people get onboarded and to obey the call of God in their lives to go and be a light in dark places.
So if you do feel like you might be called to missions, long-term, short-term, just a trip, reach out to us on social media, connect with Kairos Global, and we would love to see if this would be a place where you could plug in and really get involved in missions.
Yep, links to to social media and a website will be below. So yeah, but let me just pray us out, and that will conclude season one of Field Notes.
Let's go.
Lord, you know what you're doing. You were beautiful, you were good, and we long to know you and to live in communion with you. We long to have hearts and lives that are soft to your touch, that respond to your leadership, that respond to your direction, that respond to your input. I just ask so that you would do that in our hearts. You would soften our hearts right now. Soften it. Those little pieces of resistance, those little pieces of pride and fear that can get in the way of soft hearts. I ask that you just deal with it. Expose them. Soften our hearts. Make us into what you want to make us. Just have your way. Amen.
Yes, Lord, amen. So, we will be back with season 2 later this year, and we hope you guys will keep listening. We want to just close really quick with a big thanks to all of the Cairo staff that helped make this possible this year. Everyone that helped host and ran cameras and watched our kids.
Yeah.
Would not have happened.
It did take a village, literally.
It took the village.
So
we are so grateful and hope to be back with you later this year.
Hope you guys have a great summer. Yeah.